Well, I would like to conclude our series, Vision, Every Day in Christ. I thought I was done with it last week, and then as the week carried on, I thought, well, there's one more for this series, and that's going to be this evening. We know this entire series has been about just walking each day in Christ with the vision that he's placed inside of our lives. We know the scripture tells us in Proverbs that when we have no vision, we stumble all over ourselves. We don't want to stumble all over ourselves. We want to walk in the power and the provision of God. We want to walk with clarity. We want to walk with wisdom. We want to walk with peace. We want to walk with joy. We want to walk with purpose and fulfillment. And we do that when we walk each day in the vision that Christ has placed inside of our lives. So I've been asking the question week to week, you know, what is your vision concerning your daily walk with Christ? What does that look like? Are you following through? Are you being obedient and being responsive to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you? Well, tonight, as we close this, I'm just compelled to take you to 3 John as we conclude this here. As we get into it, we're going to read the entire book of 3 John, all 15 verses, so very short here. The letter of John, it was most likely written by John in his home in Ephesus. It is addressed to Gaius. We will see that. He was a faithful friend of John and also a very faithful friend and loyal to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The main theme that you're going to see here, if you were to take at it and you took a really quick glimpse at it, you would say, okay, the main theme of this is being hospitable. And being hospitable to those who are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, specifically to those who are traveling. So that would be your evangelists, that would be your missionaries, that would be those that were coming in from town to town and presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we take a close look at it and kind of slow down a little bit, I believe there's much to gain from this very brief writing. So go there with me. 3 John, let's look at these 15 verses. It says, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." If you were with me on Sunday, that was the very last scripture I gave, and that scripture has just stayed within my soul over these past several days. Number 3, "For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Children, meaning those who have been converted to Christ under the ministry of John. And he goes on to say, "Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all of your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth." So he's thanking him for the generosity and how they have treated those who have been presenting the gospel and traveling from town to town. Verse 9. "Now I have written something to the church, and Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who wants to, and he even puts them out of the church." So that's a very controversial individual that is mentioned here in these 15 verses. Verse 11. "Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. Now, I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends each by name." Now, as we've read this together here, you may have noticed there are very 3 specific names that are mentioned by John. Just for the next few moments, I'm going to look at each one of those individuals. The first one is Gaius. Now, if you go to listen to how to pronounce that, it could be pronounced Gaius or Gaius. Most pronunciations will say Gaius, so that's the one I went with. Not because I have any knowledge to say that it is, other than most of them went that route, so that's the route I chose. So Gaius, a loyal friend and follower of Christ. A faithful member of the church who John strongly commends for his hospitality. Now, his hospitality was characterized by the welcoming and opening of his home to those traveling and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. In his hospitality, we see his kindness, we see his generosity, and we see his faithful support of the ministry. Now, John also commends him for walking in the truth of Jesus Christ. Without doubt, church, Gaius' actions, they serve as a beautiful testimony for Christ. He is someone in the church that you would want to worship and serve with. That's who he is. He's that individual, like, you're ready to give him a high five or a knuckles or whatever it is we're doing today, you know, to keep ourselves from getting infected by the virus. So he'd be one that you'd want to spend some time with. Now, for me, as I read this, his heart leaps from the pages as being one who was genuine in loving Christ and loving others. You see his motive. His motive was to exalt Christ and not to exalt himself, to serve and not to be served, to refresh as he himself was being refreshed by what Christ was doing in and through his life. You see his attitude, his behavior, his words, everything about him were a direct result of his daily walk in Christ. He is a strong individual. He is a strong leader in the church. He is a strong influence in the church. Now, I want to consider verse 2 once again. When John prays for him, he prays that prayer, "I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." I believe that he is receiving that, and I believe that Gaius is walking in that. And he's walking in that. Why? Because he is following Christ and he is allowing Christ to minister to him each and every day as he pours himself into others. Now, the phrase "all may go well" in this prayer, it is translated from the Greek word euodo, meaning to have a good journey, to be led along a good road. So you see, John's prayer is that Gaius walks in Christ on the path of truth. May he continue to prosper in experiencing the fullness and fulfillment of God's blessing in every area of his life. That's John's prayer for him. He sees this man. He sees his heart. He sees just how genuine he is in receiving what God is doing with the Holy Spirit speaking to him and how he has this desire inside to reach out and minister to those who are around him. Now, this does not mean that Gaius would never experience the trials of life. Because when you look at Gaius the way I'm looking at tonight, because I don't know him at all, only through Scripture, but I see this is a man at peace. This is a man at peace with himself. This is a man who I believe has much joy inside of his spirit. I believe this man finds a lot of fulfillment and how he lives his life each and every day for Jesus Christ. Now, talking in such a nature of this man, he is not one who is going to be exempt from the trials of life, because every single believer is going to have to go through the trials of life. Every single believer is going to go through the trials of just living in this world. Amen? There's going to be just day-to-day trials. There's going to be certain seasons. There's going to be things that take place that you and I have to walk through. As believers, we're not exempt from that. We know that well. We know even as believers, we're going to suffer for the name of Christ. We have seen that over and over in each and every one of the letters that we read here in the New Testament, that the believers, they are suffering for the cause of Christ. Put in prison, they are beaten, taken out of their homes. There's many things that happen in their life. But again, I go back to this man, because when we read of him, we see a man who is walking in just such strength and power because he's walking every day in the truth of Jesus Christ. I don't want you to kind of overlook what is being said here in these 15 verses, because John talks a lot about being in the truth. Just in those few words, he brings it out that when you walk in the truth of Jesus Christ, there's a lot of good that's going to take place in your life. No matter what you say, and no matter how many support individuals you have around you, and no matter what you might write down on a vision board or anything else that you're trying to do to find a positive outlook on life, if you're not walking in truth inside of here, nothing is going to change. You've got to walk in truth in here, Because when you're walking in truth inside of you, that's when you're going to be at peace. And when you're at peace inside, everything outside, it's not going to be a facade anymore. It's not going to be superficial. It's not going to be short term. When you're walking in the truth of Jesus Christ, it is genuine deep down within your soul. Then the peace that you have every day, it is going to be lasting. In church, I want to tell you, I want a long-term peace. I do not want anything short-term, right? I want a long-term joy. I want a peace and a joy that overrides all the different things that I have to go through throughout the week. Because there's going to be a lot of different things that are going to try to steal my peace, to steal my joy, to steal my purpose and my fulfillment and my clarity and the vision that I have in Jesus Christ. I don't want anything short term. I want it to be long term. And that's going to happen when we're walking in truth. I see this as I read about this individual. He is guarded. His heart is guarded. His mind is guarded, like Paul talks about in Scripture in Philippians that we've read just in the last few weeks. Gaius, his mind and heart are guarded by a peace that passes all worldly understanding. That's where we want to be, right? That's where we want to be. You see, John wanted the best for Gaius. That's why he prays such a prayer over him. It wasn't just a cordial greeting. I know in all of the letters that you see in Scripture, there's this really a cordial greeting of blessing, and it's genuine, and it's heartfelt. But this was not just a greeting. This was a prayer. Because I know that John wanted the best for his friend. John wanted the best for those traveling and sharing the gospel, and so did Gaius. John wanted the best for the church, and so did Gaius. Now, certainly John's writings, they contain strong words to the church. If you go back and read 1 John and 2 John, you're going to see some strong words, words talking about love and truth, but there's also going to be words of encouragement. There's going to be words of warning and correction. All of it was for the benefit of the believers to walk in the truth of Jesus Christ. Because you, as you walk in the truth of Jesus Christ, you're going to experience the fullness of being whole and healthy in every area of your life. Church, I got to tell you, this letter speaks to my soul and how we should endeavor to love Jesus and love others in a ways demonstrated by our words and our actions. I mean, this it just really speaks to my soul, because when I get back to verse 2, that's really where I keep going back to, because that is my prayer, and I hope that's your prayer for one another, that you are healthy and that you are whole. Thought about that ever since I read it on Sunday. It has just stayed with me. I went to a conference in Tulsa on Tuesday about biblical literacy in our culture, and the church I was in, it had a cross there on the stage, and the word behind it was wholeness. And I looked at that word for 6 hours. And it just was deep down in my soul, because that's what I want for our church family. I want you to be healthy in every area of your life. Amen. In your mind, in your heart, in your emotions. I want you to find that fullness of God. I want you to be whole in who He is, who He is in you. I want you to be whole in how the Holy Spirit is moving in your life. I want you to experience the full resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I want you to know Him in His fullness in every single way, because when you strive after that type of life, you every single day, you're going to find peace in Christ. I don't believe that that is something that is unobtainable. I believe that every single individual in this room, you can find peace in Christ every single day. You can find fulfillment. You can find purpose. And even on the rockiest days, the most difficult days, when you're not at your best, you can stop. You can slow down for a minute. You can call upon the name of Jesus. You can just begin to worship Him. You can get into Scripture and you just can begin to read what God is speaking to your life. In just a matter of seconds, even faster than that, you're going to feel His presence as He begins to speak and nurture your soul. Amen? I really believe that. And so you may say, Pastor, you're really seeing a lot in that letter. But when I read that, when I hear him greet and pray over Gaius in such a manner, I just see a man who's going to be stable. He's secure in who he is. He's secure in what he's doing. He loves what he's doing. He's compassionate about what God is doing. He wants to take care of the people that are coming in and presenting the gospel. He wants his people, his house church, he wants them to hear the truth. He wants that church to grow. He wants all of it just to keep moving forward. And he finds such fulfillment in that. It's because of that daily walk that he has with Christ. It's because of that vision that he has. How do we make this a daily reality? That's the question I put on the PowerPoint. It's simple, by walking in the truth of Jesus. Gaius's walk with Christ was the reason for the character in which he demonstrates. He was whole, he was healthy, and that prayer I believe he is receiving because he's living in such a manner. May that be for all of us here tonight, amen. And I gotta say it one more time. It is important that we're walking in truth in our hearts. It seems like I run into a lot of individuals, and I pray this comes out properly, because we all have issues, and the greatest place to run to is to God. And the church represents that, right? The pastor and the leadership and the people and the fellowship. So when you're hurting, absolutely run to God. I think I even emphasized that last week. Run to God. Run to God. But when you're running to him, I pray that you're getting ready to allow him to do whatever he wants to do inside of your life. And I pray that you don't think that it's just going to be a quick fix and a quick healing because you ran to church all of a sudden, or because you talked to a spiritual mentor all of a sudden. I pray that you understand, because I think we've all been there at some point in time, that when you run to church, yes, run to church, but run with an open heart and an open mind that says, hey, I want some truth inside of me. What I find is people, their homes are falling apart, all hell is breaking loose, so they run to the right place. But in the first few days, when it doesn't all pull back together, they get frustrated, and then they don't come back to church. They're like, well, forget it. That didn't do anything for me. Can I tell you, that's not how this works. That's not how this works. It's not a quick fix. It's not a Band-Aid that you're going to put on there and 3 or 4 days later just take it off and all is good and go back to the way in which you were doing. I'm telling you, when God's going to heal your soul, when God's going to make you healthy and whole, you've got to be ready to say, okay, I'm going to empty my heart and I want you to fill it back up with the truth of who you are. Let me see the truth of who I am. Let me see the truth of my words, the truth of my thoughts. I need to see the truth of the philosophy that I've got going on in here. I don't want my philosophy. I've prayed many a times, God, I do not want Steve Lee's theology inside of my head, because Steve Lee's theology will mess me up really fast. I want the theology of Jesus Christ. I want the theology of the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to walk in wisdom. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to continue to educate myself. But in all of that, I want it to be founded upon the truth of Jesus. Why is the world in such a mess today? Because we've walked away from that. And every single nation that walks away from that will suffer the consequence. Every single home that walks away from that, I mean, we can narrow it down to our living room, right? Every single home that walks away from that, they're going to suffer the consequence. There's no peace in that. There's no wholeness in that. There's no health in that. So I pray that you just walk in the truth. And again, yes, I see that in this letter, because it just makes me think about what it is. I just see this man, I mean, 15 verses, and it's in the Holy Word. 15 verses, 3 individuals named, and it's in the canon of Scripture. So there is much for us to receive here, and what I see is this individual is just walking the life, and therefore he's experiencing the fulfillment of doing so. I love that. Let's look at the next individual here that is mentioned, Diotrephes. He is the next individual here that John brings out. Now in this, you saw it, John gives an indirect rebuke to him through this letter to Gaius. Diotrephes, he is characterized as one desiring to be first. It said it there in Scripture, want to be first. When we really take a look at this, now here's what I'm sensing. He wants to be first. He wants to be right in all matters. He even wants to be exalted, seen as superior and one who is an authority. Because he's expelling people from the church that are following the teaching of John and any of John's disciples. He is 100% against John, because John had written a letter for the believers and it hadn't got to them because he refused to receive it. He refused to receive the truth. And then he took it up in his own power and authority to say who was in and who was out. He is an individual who wanted to be first. He has a pride about him. His selfish pride gave evidence of his lack of a genuine relationship with Christ. It is important when we read this letter that he would be considered by the outsiders a brother in Christ, because he himself, highly likely, is the leader of a house church. He himself is highly influential in many of the churches in this province, which we believe to be modern-day Turkey. So it is highly likely that this individual right here, I mean, he has this great influence, but he has such a pride. Now, note what his selfish pride cultivated in his daily walk. Pride will cultivate things like deception, presumption, and malicious talk. That's what Scripture tells us. That's not me just thinking into it. That's what the Scripture is telling us. Deception, presumption, and malicious talk. He is the individual that gives you reason to want to distance yourself from people. Not that we should ever do that, but he's one of those individuals that you would just want to keep your distance from. Now, again, I think back about verse 2. Behold, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. That's what we want for one another. That's what's going to refresh our heart and our mind and our soul, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Not what Diotrephes is doing. He's the exact opposite of that. Here was my true thought. I wrote it down in my notes just like that. My true thought, ... Why does there have to be people like Diotrephes in the church? That's what I wrote. That might be selfish, that may not be anointed, but that's what I wrote. Because there is one or more in every church. Reality, the next thing that came to mind, there's always going to be somebody trying to steal your peace and your joy and your sanity. There's always going to be somebody presenting themselves as better than you. There's always going to be somebody like this, whether it's at church, whether it's at home or work or school or wherever you may be. There's always going to be somebody like that who is just going to rub you in the wrong way, and they're going to do it on purpose so they can be put up, thinking in their mind they're going to be exalted and you're going to be put down. There's always going to be that one that's walking in such a nature, in a controversial nature. And many times they will pride themselves in such a way. Can I tell you that's complete opposite of the prayer that John is praying over the believers? I would say regardless of whatever title these individuals proclaim, none of the above mentioned items here about this individual are classified as good fruit in Christ. Selfish pride, deception, presumption, malicious talk, and feeling of being superior above others, none of that is good fruit. And I think that speaks to us, and we shouldn't overlook it. And again, Wednesday night, you know, you are the blessing to the church. You're faithful, you're here, you're students of God's word, you're intercessory prayer warriors. But, you know, let's think about this as we take in the scripture here together. None of us should ever fall in this category of this individual. Our words should not belittle anybody. We should never, ever devalue anyone. I've probably said many times over the past few months, I think, probably to the pastoral team, to our staff, to my wife, I know, I just wish people knew when they get so frustrated, whether at someone, and most of the time it's at each other, and sometimes it's at me, sometimes it's just at everything in life, and they're just looking for a target, and a lot of times we're an easy target. But if people only knew, there's nothing about me or any of our pastors or our deacons or our leaders or our church that wants to put anybody down. I say it often, perhaps weekly, perhaps every time before I come up to this pulpit. There is no desire inside of me to show some authority over you in a selfish, fleshly, Steve-ly way. If there's any authority, it's in Christ. It's in Christ. There's nothing inside, I don't think, of any of us that wants to devalue anyone. And for us to walk in wholeness and health in every area of our life, again, I go back to the saying, we've got to receive the truth of God. So sometimes the message may hit you right where it hurts. And sometimes the counseling may hit you right where it hurts. Sometimes the Holy Spirit may open up something to you that you don't really want to receive. And if you don't receive it and you buck up against that and you get a rebellious spirit and say, oh, that's not for me, I'm going to do something else, you will never find yourself walking in the wholeness in which John is praying about over Gaius in this church. Right? Now, no one run up here and say, Pastor, I'm sorry you had a bad week. I've had a great week. I've been grateful for what's happening in our services. There has been a stirring and a move of God. And there's nothing out there that causes me to come tonight and throw that at you. I'm just saying that I wish every single service people had in their minds that the reason we're here is because of Jesus. And the reason we're here is for Jesus to move, for Jesus to heal, for Jesus to restore, for Jesus to save, for Jesus to light up our lives in a powerful way, for Jesus, if need be, to correct us, to discipline us, to challenge us, to change us, for it all to be good, not for any other reason. We find no glory, I believe, in having someone to go through a difficult moment. There's no glory in trying to correct someone about something that's happening in their lives. What we want to glory in is the cause of Jesus Christ. So when we come, again, I said it Sunday, I'll say it tonight, I pray, our church grabs a hold of just that idea, that thought, that philosophy, whatever you want to call it, that when people come in here, they are accepted, they are welcomed, and what we want to see more than anything is people knowing Jesus. I want Jesus to go in their living room. I don't have to go there. I want Jesus to be the one who moves them and convicts them and speaks to their lives. Amen. God, use us, but Jesus, you be unleashed on every single individual in the power of your name and the Holy Spirit. Now, let's get back to this. Diotrephes. Here he is, an individual in the church, rejecting a letter from one of Jesus' inner circle disciples. I mean, it is obvious that John had a close relationship with Christ. It is obvious that his fruits are known. It is obvious that the places that he has ministered to, they are growing and moving forward, that his disciples are following Christ in a powerful way, but it's also obvious what is happening in Diotrephes' life. Because you know this, every one of us will be known by the fruit that we produce each and every day. You can't get away from that. Your fruit exposes who you are. Right? Then how many? So I've been praying a lot, let my words be few, because my words don't expose my fruit. They do in a sense. It's everything else that goes along with that. Right? Your fruit. You know the word. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. A bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs never grow on thorn bushes, nor grapes on bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from a treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 says it like this. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. So what you do each and every day, that's what's defining you. That's what's defining your character. That is what's exposing who you really are in Christ. Because if you are walking in the truth of Jesus Christ, there will be much fruit that comes from that. Let's think about that for a moment. Now, does that put us in a place of like, oh, Pastor, I don't want to be in that place. That's too much pressure. If you are a believer in Christ, then your life ought to be producing the fruit of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to see what John says In his gospel, this is what he says about this very subject. He says, yes, I'm the vine, you're the branches, Jesus speaking. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and it withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. Well, that's a pretty straightforward word from the mouth of Jesus Christ. So, for all of us, tonight we should be like, okay, Lord, I want to be known by good fruit. If your character, or let me say it like this, if controversy follows you everywhere, can we just be real tonight and say something is probably wrong somewhere in that walk in truth? We all find ourselves in controversy, right? We all find ourselves in controversy. But if it is constant in your life, if there are multiple relationships over and over and over and over, and you're always finding a reason to find a fault in those individuals, something is wrong, because that fruit of controversy is coming probably from you. Because instead of walking in truth, you're walking in something else. Think about that. If people know you as a talker, that's not necessarily a good thing to be known as. Right? And that's not any, it's not the listener's fault. Well, if people wouldn't listen, I wouldn't talk as much. No, you're going to be known by your fruit. If what you say and do on social media or in your family or wherever it may be is always kind of stirring things up a little bit, you got to pull back a minute and say, okay, wait a minute, what type of fruit am I displaying? I know, guys, you're the Wednesday crowd. Why am I speaking that to you? I'm speaking it to me and all of us, because I wasn't planning on going here at all. The Lord started stirring me Sunday. And then today, I was just in it. And I thought, wow, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. And I pray that's how you receive it tonight. Thank you, Lord, for such a word in my life. It would be best for Diotrephes to take hold of what John is saying. It would be best for him just to humble himself, to receive that correction, and allow Christ to genuinely transform his heart. Here's what I think about this individual. He already had a following. He already had a group of people meeting in his home. He already had some great leadership. What would happen in his ministry, in his life? Now, not necessarily if he was a pastor. We just know him as a leader here in the church. What would happen if a man like him just had his heart ripped open in a good way and allow Christ to transform it? What would have happened? I think that would have been incredible, because I think there would have been a lot of individuals who had hard hearts and who maybe was malicious toward others. I mean, this is a group of individuals in a church that was always talking about somebody else, that is always trying to get in somebody else's business, that is always trying to put themselves in, well, you need to do this and you need to do that. If you'll just stop doing that, and speaking as though they have all this authority because they've never done anything wrong in their lives. If he would have just humbled himself, look at what a hit would have done in his sphere of influence. I mean, I believe a revival, a true revival, would have broken out amongst those people. And all of a sudden, people would have looked at him, and he would have been looked at in a higher manner, in a good way, because they would have seen a man who had the ability to say, you know what, I need God to do surgery inside of me. If that's what dads would do, and moms would do, and husbands would do, and wives would do, and grandparents, the single individuals, if all of us would just be that way, wow, that's a powerful move. That'll change your life. But you got to humble yourself, and you got to be willing to accept such a truth in your life. I don't think that's a one-time deal. I feel like, you know, salvation is that big surgery and that big transformation in your life. But I think you got to go in every once in a while and get checked up, you know, and allow God to really continue to speak to you, right? Because why? The world we live in, it rubs off on us really fast. So it's important that we keep all that in check. Okay. I wrote down here also in my notes, still thinking about Diotrephes. He's the individual that makes a lot of people in the church skeptical, especially those who are just growing in Christ. It can get to matured believers as well, but that's what makes a lot of people skeptical of church. It's a reason a lot of people get discouraged. It's a reason why a lot of people in the church today distance themselves from others. I believe it's individuals like him that really influence people to really have a difficult time in building relationships within the church. They get a little bit hardened against that, and they walk in anxiety instead of walking in peace. Can I tell you, that type of individual can get to you only if you allow them to do so. What I hope is the church, that you and our entire church is whole and healthy, and that when people walk in, they want to be a part of that. They don't want to feel any other way but just being a part of that. Too many people in our culture today, they do this. And I understand why, because I do this. I do this. And what that means is I keep things at a distance, and I keep people sometimes at a distance, because I've seen and experienced and felt a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of judgment, just a lot of things. So over the years, I know not just me, but all of us, we sometimes do this except for those that are just really, really close to us. You know what I mean? And you see that. I pray that as a church, we can grow in a way that says we're going to be so whole and healthy with one another. With one another, yes, in our homes, but with one another, that as the church moves forward, that's what draws and attracts people here, is that it's a place, again, they can come and be a part of and not feel judged and not feel like they're being put down and not feel like they're inferior and not feel like they're the only one that's had all this junk happen in their lives, but they feel like they can come and be a part of something because the way that we choose to treat one another. So important in our lives. I don't want to be like Diotrephes at all. When we put our mind on Christ, what I'm talking about tonight can become a reality, because it was John who said he is the way, the truth, and the life. Or Jesus said it, but it was written in the Gospel of John. John 14 and 6, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Gaius is walking in that. Diotrephes is not. John 10:10 says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life, an abundant life. Gaius is receiving that. Diotrephes, he is not. There's the difference right there. When you think about him, this is who we don't want to be. Now, I do pray that something happened in his spirit. When I get to heaven someday, he may come and sit down beside me and say, man, you were pretty hard on me that night. I pray that he found the truth. But it's a pretty pointed example just in 15 verses that are shared with us. So then we get to the last one. How much time will we spend here? Well, Demetrius. As Gaius, he was a strong and faithful follower of Christ. And so John is talking about not imitating bad behavior, but imitating good behavior, and then just all of a sudden he throws out Demetrius' name. That's where you want to be, right? You want to be used as a good example. You want to be used, you know, I'm talking about good character. I'm just thinking about Kevin. All of a sudden, boom, Kevin comes to my mind. Well, that's where you want to be, right? That's because that light of Christ is following inside of your life. So in talking about imitating in good behavior, he would be another one to follow. So all I will say is this about him. His story would read much like Gaius's, because just like Gaius, he walked in truth each and every day as he walked in Christ. What made him be the one that his name was just pulled and John used? Because he was walking in truth. The people he ministered to could testify to that. The people he lived with could testify to that. Even John himself could testify to that, that he was walking in truth. Again, all three of these characters, they were known by their fruit. And may we be known by our good fruit in Christ. So when I close out this series tonight, Vision, Every Day in Christ, I think this is a beautiful way to close this out, because what we're really trying to get to is back to receiving that prayer, verse 2, that we will be healthy physically, we'll be healthy spiritually, that we will be whole and healthy in every area of our lives. And as we walk in the truth of Jesus, that's what we can expect, right? None of us are perfect. Please know that. Gaius was not perfect. Demetrius was not perfect. We all have our flaws. But when you choose to walk in the manner they did, you're going to be able to receive that prayer that John prays over them. And I pray every single one of us can receive that tonight. May you be healthy and whole in every area of your life.